You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
James, let me ask you, why in the world did you play that particular bit of music?
Well, I'll tell you. If you were an 8-year-old boy at your grandmother's house in the 1980s, you were tuned in to Murder, She Wrote. And not only tuned in my case, but you became a fan.
You were turned on as well.
Of Murder, She Wrote. And Angela Lansbury, Dame Angela Bridget Lansbury, who...
And like they said, there's nothing like a dame.
She passed away this week in her sleep at 96 years of age.
Exactly the same age as my mother, who's English also.
Well, there you go. So, you know, I think Angela Lansbury is one of these celebrities who gets an honorable mention just about every year on this particular program. I grew up watching that with my maternal grandmother, and I became a fan of it. You know, the show is, and it ran for years, at least a decade on network television. And she plays a writer. She's a Angela Lansbury's character in that is Jessica Fletcher. She's a writer, but she lives in this all white New England town, and there's always something going on that she's got to get to the bottom of. And so this ran for
She's a busybody.
Well, yeah, that's what somebody said. Her character is a busybody, but it ran for 10 years. And anytime there's some sort of a crime or a murder in her area, she, you know, helps the police solve it. Well, there's a lot of murders in that quaint all-white English town.
She's like Superman on one hand and Sherlock Holmes on the other.
She's like a little bit like MacGyver. She always figures out what everybody else can't.
But MacGyver had a job. See, Superman did it as a volunteer. So did Sherlock Holmes for the most part.
So did Angela Lansbury.
So did Angela Lansbury. So she has more in common with them. Angela Lansbury was a great talent, by the way. She had her breakthrough role in the movie Gaslight in 1944, which starred Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer, and that's where we get the term gaslighting from. She played a servant. She played a kind of Cockney tart who was involved in, you know, in the household and knew what was going on, had more knowledge than the actual members of the family that lived in the house. She was great in that role, but she could not only play a Cockney tart on one end, she could play this kind of refined blue stocking, which is, you know, a kind of independent woman that doesn't follow convention, in Murder, She Wrote.
Well, I enjoyed it. Disney actually had a little stage show at what was then called Disney MGM Studios, one of the theme parks in Orlando. And they had a little stage show for Murder, She Wrote, and it was sort of an interactive thing with the audience. You could get in on it, and you could be one of the characters in the play. And they asked, you know, do we have any Angela Lansbury fans in the crowd? Well, what 8-year-old boy wasn't a fan of Angela Lansbury? So my hand went straight up. I didn't get picked for the show, but anyway. Well, it's, you know... No, I don't guess any of us are getting out of here alive, as we like to say, but Angela Lansbury passed away this week. A lot of memories with my grandmother watching that show. She was also a singer. She did Mrs. Potts and Beauty and the Beast, and she also did some Christmas songs that we actually play during our Christmas.
Yeah, she kept working right up to the bitter or blessed end.
A lot of stuff. Anyway, hey, we got to get to our final guest of the evening, David Jones of the Southern National Congress, here after this segment. But before we do that, And to Angela Lansbury, the Kingdom of Heaven, of course. But before we do that, Keith, the midterms are coming up, but you wouldn't know it because it hasn't been on the news. But as we found out this week, Oregon is in play. Now, the state of Oregon has not voted for a Republican presidential
since the days of the gold rush.
Since 1984. But a Republican is posed to win the governorship in Oregon. And that's, you know, goes back to what I thought last week. We're not hearing so much about the midterms because the Democrats might not be poised to do so well. If Oregon is in play, God knows what may be coming. I mean, we'll see. And it doesn't really matter. Well, it doesn't really matter. Brother Nathaniel says it doesn't matter. But I guess we'll find out. I think, you know, maybe. I think there are more Republicans, to be sure, that would withhold funding to Ukraine than Democrats. I think, you know, we know what we're going to get from the Democrats. Can you get anything worse from the Republicans? Probably not. But there's more things going on than that, Keith. And I know you want to comment on this. AOC did a recent town hall in her area and was accosted for her support of the war on Ukraine. And then Tulsi Gabbard wrote this week, "I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that is now under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers driven by cowardly wokeness who divide us by racializing every issue and stoke anti-white racism." There's the word again, the term anti-white. Here it is again. "Actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms." That's Tulsi Gabbard. That's pretty strong stuff. So Tulsi Gabbard, AOC, the midterms. Before we go to David Jones, you got 2 minutes.
Okay, first of all, on Oregon, why they're doing it, it's because of the Black Lives Matter protests, 270 of them, a much greater body toll, a much greater disruption and destruction of property than the infamous January the 6th so-called insurrection. They actually did declare that they had created a separate state within the city of Portland. And I think there are a lot of Oregonians that didn't really take to that weren't really down with Black Lives Matter, and I think that is driving more of them to become Republican or at least vote Republican for office holders in this election. That's number one. Number two, what's happening about the election coming up? The people in the Republican hierarchy, like Rona McDaniel, are telling people to get out and vote early. Mike Lindell, on the other hand, says don't get out and vote early. Vote on the day of the election. Why? He said, if you vote in early voting, they will count your vote ahead of time, and they can set the algorithm with the computer to outvote the number of people voting for your candidate on the election day. If, on the other hand, you hold back until election day, they don't have the ability to do that, to work on the algorithm and steal the election from you. So I tend to think that Mike Lindell might be on to something on that. I'm not going to vote until the day of the election, and that's what I would recommend all of us do. We're white people. We can do that. We can manage it. All of this early voting was brought about by the Voting Rights Act.
Tulsi Gabbard, you got 30 seconds on Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard is a truth teller. She, you know, will call a spade a dirty shovel, as my wife's grandfather used to say. And she's come out and ruffled feathers again. You could put triple parentheses around when she talks about a cabal and whatnot. She knows who they are. Again, she's not brave enough to say it. We need people to say it. You can't talk about the international banking elite or the world running cabal anymore and expect people in America and Europe to get it. You've got to come right out and call a spade a dirty shovel.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
You know, we never need a reason to play that particular song, our national anthem, on this program, but we have good reason for it tonight, and that reason is that David Jones is back on the program this evening. Mr. Jones is, Reverend Jones, in fact, is the chairman of the Southern National Congress, and he's going to be back with us for the remainder of the program this evening as a surprise guest to discuss with us issues pertaining to the South and, of course, let us know a little bit more about his worthy organization and its mission. And we're going to get that information right now. David, welcome back to the show, your fourth time in as many years. It's always great to have you.
I am honored. I am honored to be here.
Well, it's our honor to have you. Anytime we could talk with a feather Southron and a feather a fellow descendant of the Confederate blood is entirely our honor and privilege. And your organization, the Southern National Congress,
I can tie it together. Birds of a feather fly.
That's
together.
What I was probably subconsciously stabbing at. The Southern National Congress is certainly something that is worthy of a little illumination. So let's talk about your organization, its purpose, its standing, and what it's out to accomplish.
Well, we are designed to work with the different Southern legislatures. We're not a nationally, or shall I say, the umpires, we're not concerned about them. They really don't exist to us except as a thorn in our side. We want to get the Southern legislatures and legislators understanding how much value they have and what they can do to get us back on the course of true liberty. And so we do that. We meet once a year. We've got 14 different states that are represented in the Congress. We discuss different issues and then make different resolutions that we want to pass on to our own state legislators. We don't do that from a national office. We do it very much from each state. Representatives have their responsibility to go after the legislators in their own state.
Reverend Jones, I would ask you this. And by the way, if this would help anyone in our audience, we're going to give you all the contact information for the Southern National Congress and its upcoming conference, which is coming up the first week in November, so we're going to give you all the information on how to become an attendee or a delegate to that. We'll do that before the end of the hour. But if this helps you, ladies and gentlemen, in addition to my endorsement of David Jones as a guest on this program, as we said, he's been making an annual stop here for the last 4 years, our good friend for many years and longtime supporter of this radio program, far above and beyond that of most, Rich Hamblin, is the vice chairman of the Southern National Congress. So you can't go wrong with David Jones and Rich Hamblin. Am I right, David? Tell me if I'm a liar. Am I lying?
You're telling the truth, boy. Preach it. Preach it.
Oh, you're the preacher, my friend, but I would ask you this. We're going to give you all that information in the last segment tonight, so stay tuned for that. The next gathering of the Southern National Congress, how you can become an attendee, and all of that, their contact information. We're going to save that for the end of the hour, the end of the program. But in our last hour, we had Brother Nathaniel Kapner, a Russian Orthodox clergy, talking about secession, saying secession is the way forward. Rich Hamblin,
the
our good
only
friend.
Way forward
yeah,
is
well,
what he
that's
said.
Right. That's what he said. Rich Hamblin, our good friend who we just mentioned, said secession is a time-honored tradition and is actually what is going on now in the Donbass. Your thoughts about that, David? Is secession the last step before outright revolution and the only hope of preventing us from going down with this current Bolshevik regime?
The secession is an absolute necessity because the only good government is government that's closest to the people, and practically 90% of the people in the South can attest that Washington is not good government for any of our states. It's too far away from us. Except maybe Virginia, and we may even allow Northern Virginia to secede from us.
David, this is Keith Alexander. Let me ask you this. You said there are 14 states that you represent. What's that, the old
yes.
Confederacy plus Missouri,
the old
Kentucky?
Confederacy plus, plus Maryland. We allowed Maryland in because of the fact that they were under Lincoln, they were forced to stay in the Union.
What about Missouri and Kentucky
and Oklahoma?
Oklahoma has never applied. They've made comments that they would like to be, but they've never applied to be a member of the Congress.
Are you talking? Yeah, the present day Congress. That
what about Missouri or Kentucky?
Yeah. Well, they're part of the.
Yeah, they got a star.
They got a star in the flag, so that you know.
that's what it goes by. If you got a star on the flag, hey Keith, tell David Jones and our audience at large what flag we have here in the studio tonight.
We have a Confederate flag, a square one, not an oblong one, and
all right, get back. Hold that mic up.
And then, in the red field zone, we have. Our legions march upon crimson sod, fighting like, and then the next one down, fighting like titans, striking like gods, then at the bottom until every, and then across, the battle for our homeland shall never abate until every tyrant is crushed and every wrong is set straight.
That was actually gifted to us at one of our anniversary conferences here for TPC by a listener, longtime listener in Arkansas. So yes, David Jones, the Confederate flag flies above every broadcast we ever do. So,
and on the margins it says, no retreat, no apologies, no surrender.
Which is our tagline here for TPC. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Getting back to, so you're in good company here, as I know you already know, and we're in good company having you on. And I always love, you know, this is one of the pillars of the program. If you have, if we are a tripod, it is faith in God, honor to our patrimony, and of course, reverence to our Southern forebears. You know, it's God, family, republic here for us. But anyway, back to the talk about secession. Is that the only way forward for our people to be free here on this continent? Is there any other way but secession where it turns out good for our people? David?
That's the only way other than revolution. And the problem is revolution can quickly turn to anarchy. And we certainly don't need that. It's bad enough as it is. So, or the government is bad enough as it is. But an orderly, Christ-centered, if you will, revolution. evolution of secession is the only only way to get it resolved.
David, is there any way to have secession without a revolution? Is there any way, for example, to trick the blue states into seceding from us in the red states or in the former Confederacy?
Yeah, we wouldn't fight to keep them as they fought and murdered and raped and pillaged to keep us.
If they want to leave, we'd say don't. If they wanted to leave, we would say don't let the door hit you in the ass when you leave.
Pretty much. But I have consistently prayed for the failure of the what I call the Colombian Empire. And Biden has done an excellent job of overextending debt and so on to the point that there may be an end to it simply because it can't afford to go on.
I was just going to say, the Biden administration has done more than any of us could have done. As Napoleon said, when you see your enemy making a mistake, don't interrupt him.
I'm so thankful to have with us for the remainder of this hour, David Jones, Reverend David Jones of the Southern National Congress. Look, we're talking about these issues. Is the fervor for these issues more palpable now than it has been in years past? We'll talk to the man himself, David Jones. We'll give you that contact information, how you can join their next Congress in November.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marissa reporting. Russia retaliates in Ukraine by targeting the locals.
Russian military forces are targeting Ukrainian civilians in hundreds of missile strikes launched this past week. A senior U.S. military official said Russia is trying to retaliate after an explosion damaged a key bridge. The official said Russia is deliberately targeting civilians and infrastructure like electricity and bridges in Ukraine. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Missile strikes in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital, left cars burning and splatters of blood on the sidewalks. Throughout this week, Russian military fired its most intensive barrage of missiles at Ukraine since the start of the war in February, killing 3 dozen civilians, knocking out electricity and overwhelming air defenses. One thing the missiles did not do was change the course of the ground war, fought mostly in trenches with the most intense combat now in an area of rolling hills and pine forests in the east and on the open plains in the south. These battles are where control of territory is decided and where Russia's military continue to lose ground despite its missile strikes. They use their expensive rockets for nothing, just to frighten people. Vladimir Aryev, a member of Ukraine's parliament, said of the Russian cruise missiles, rockets, and self-destructing drones used in the strikes. They think they can scare Ukrainians, but the goal they achieved is only making us angrier. Former NFL player and GOP Senate candidate Herschel Walker is now denying that he supports a total abortion ban. U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock and Walker faced off Friday night at their first and only debate broadcast on News Nation. Warnock, a church leader in the Atlanta area, also clarified his position on reproductive rights.
I think that the women of this country and the women of this state woke up one summer morning and a core protection that they've known for 50 years was taken from them by an extremist Supreme Court.
This is USA Radio News.
If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in taxes, please listen to this important message. The IRS is aggressively hiring and quickly ramping up their tax collection team. Act now and protect yourself with a call to Tax Alliance. Don't let the money you owe the IRS keep you up at night and ruin your life. You may be surprised at how much having Tax Alliance on your side can protect you from the IRS collections and help you save thousands on what you owe. Here's what a customer had to say.
Tax Alliance did an amazing job helping me through a quite difficult situation, saving me tens and thousands of dollars that I would have been paying for many years to come.
Tax Alliance is rated A+ with a Better Business Bureau with no consumer complaints. If you owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled returns, or have a payment plan and are still frustrated, call Tax Alliance now for a free consultation. 800-987-1097. 800-987-1097. That's 800-987-1097.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
Oh. rebel, now that's just what I am. And for this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence too. I hate the glorious Union, 'tis dripping with our blood. I hate the striped banner, I fit it all I could. I rode with Robert E. Lee for 3 years thereabout. Got wounded in 4 places and I starved at Point Lookout. I caught the rheumatism a-camping in the snow. But I killed a chance of Yankees and I'd like to kill some more.
You know, I was engaged in an email exchange with some of the regulars on this program about an article that came out in a medical journal. It was some sort of a medical university piece, I think, that the trauma that Holocaust survivors endured is heritable into their children. So you can have third, fourth, fifth generation Holocaust survivors that they'll actually never even be.
So they can continue to milk money away from the
Germans. Well, I said, well, you know, this is something because I actually feel the inherited pain of my Reconstruction era ancestors. And so, you know, when do we get a little bit of bread and cheese for that?
Don't hold your breath.
But in any event, we are back with
Davy Jones.
Reverend David Jones.
Not the lead singer for the Monkees, but a person.
Even more important.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, you know, David, we were talking with you about the difference between revolution and secession, but your thoughts on this, the Revolutionary War as a secessionist movement and the history of secession, previous secession movements, and, you know, beyond the War of Independence, the Hartford Convention, the Southern Confederacy, of course, and the modern secessions of the last 35 years, which have redrawn the maps of the world. And this is something that can happen here, right? Again.
Oh, certainly. You see, an existing government does not like to see any of their wealth or power taken from them. And secession does exactly that. It takes wealth, it takes power away from the central government. That is why Great Britain fought so hard to keep the colonies. That is why the Union, Columbia Union, with Lincoln at the head, they were wanting money. They wanted their power. And when the Southern states seceded, they had to go after them. And so the same thing will happen again unless the states that are seceding are so worthless to them that they don't feel the fight is necessary.
You know, David, I think there's even a deeper meaning or a deeper reason. I think, for example, the Yankee abolitionists resisted our ancestors' efforts to secede because they could not forego the intense pleasure they achieved from bossing us around and telling us to do things that they knew we didn't believe in, but they had the power to make us do.
They did not like the fact that the Southerners had minds of their own.
Exactly. And they're not live and let live types. You know, today's woke leftists say, if you're not a progressive, you are a Nazi and need to be destroyed.
Exactly. I mean, it's and they always use the words that are evoke the strongest anti feeling. And of course, Nazi is the biggest no-no among secular society. They don't understand the word. And they don't want to be accused of being one.
Followed very closely in a close second by Confederate.
Yeah, the most hated two groups of white people are Germans and then white Southerners.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And It is the biggest difficulty we have in the South is being able to overcome the implied horror of who we are.
The conditioning done to us and our children by the left.
Well, I would ask you this, David, if you wouldn't mind pausing, who are we?
Say again?
Now, I would say, who are we? I mean, we've heard from our opponents, from our enemies, and this goes something. This goes back to what we were talking about in the last hour. Our friend from the UK, British barrister Adrian Davis, said the only crime
in
losing the only war crime is losing the war. So we know who we've been told we are by the victors.
We're supposedly war criminals.
But who are we as Southerners and as the defendants of as the descendants of Confederates? Who are we really?
First of all, we're Christians. We are family oriented. We
are,
and those are the two biggest things right there. I mean, Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson were amazing family-oriented Christian leaders. And because of their ability to work together, the two of them, you know, 1 + 1 = 11, the greatest tragedy for us was that Jackson was killed. And I think the leadership, including Lee, at that point, knew that the war was lost.
So Stonewall Jackson was that important. You think if he had not been struck down by friendly fire, they were an independent nation today?
Was it his military prowess or his Christian faith that made him indispensable?
We would have defeated the Union.
At Gettysburg. We would have won Gettysburg with Jackson.
I don't know whether Gettysburg or anywhere else, but we would have defeated the Union. They didn't have the moral, they had no moral high ground. And and reading about the Great Partnership, the book, in fact, The Great Partnership, you see that it was both Lee and Jackson who recognized that a faithful nation was the only one that could win. And the great sin of the South, of why we lost, was that people started to make idols of their military leaders, Jackson especially.
That's interesting.
But then on the other hand, David, you're not suggesting that the Yankees had a stronger Christian faith than we do, are you?
No.
No. But God was dealing with us. I can't point to the other guy and say Russia is corrupt completely. And that's why the Ukraine ought to win. But Ukraine has the responsibility of being faithful. The South had the responsibility of being faithful, and Jackson especially was really upset that he was being made an idol. There is the story of the Yankee newspaper who printed after, you know, upon Jackson's death, said St. Peter dispatched two archangels to go and collect Stonewall's remains, and they looked all over and could not find him. And they came back to heaven defeated that they couldn't find him, only to find that Jackson had made a flanking movement around them and had beat them back there.
He sure would have done it if he needed to. That's for sure. The difference between a hero and an idol, though. The difference between a hero and an idol, though. I mean, he's certainly a hero and still a hero.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, that's. That's part of what we have today, is we want to make idols of so many different people. Southeastern football, come on. Whether it's college,
that's right,
or you've got the professional football players, they are made idols of, and they, for the most part, are hollow as far as an idol is concerned.
Any member of the SEC in the current year compared to Stonewall Jackson is a faint replica.
What it used to be, but there's no doubt we have numerous idols other than the one true God.
Got to take a quick break. We're going to give you the contact information for the Southern National Congress with David Jones next. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, the shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Saw you were marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Had the opportunity. I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you before, folks. Probably I have, but if I haven't, I'll share it again. And if I have, I'll share it again. But on the way up to Donald Trump's inauguration in January of 2017, I spent the night on the drive up in Lexington, Virginia. Which, of course, as you know, is the final resting place of both Generals Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. And I stayed at the Robert E. Lee Hotel. It has since been renamed. Even since 2017, it has been renamed. In 2017, it was still the Robert E. Lee Hotel, and it was a fantastic hotel. Within a walking distance of Washington and Lee University, where, of course, General Lee is buried so famously, and not far from the Stonewall Jackson Memorial Cemetery, had the opportunity to pay my respects to two of my betters and two of our betters, two of the best that there ever were. And what a remarkable occurrence that was. And I'm a better man for it. And any opportunity we have to talk about the South, we welcome. But tonight with Reverend David Jones of the Southern National Congress, we have an opportunity to really sink our teeth into this and play some of the songs that we love doing every April during Confederate History Month. But David, with only about 10 minutes remaining, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's talk about the Southern National Congress. When was it formed? I'm going to throw a lot of questions at you right now. You answer them in turn, and then we'll give Keith a final word here. But the Southern National Congress, when was it formed and why? Who can participate? Where can we sign up? Let's start there. Yeah, go ahead.
This is the 15th session. So we've been around exactly 15 years. Actually, I was there were about 3 years ahead of that that we were in the planning sessions before we actually had the first Congress. This year it's on Saturday, November 5. It will be in Columbia, Tennessee at a hotel right off the interstate. To register, to find out the details and to register, go to our website is thesnc.org. thesnc.org. And you can get all the information for registration for and becoming a delegate. You can attend as either a delegate or just an observer. But get that done quickly if you want to be a delegate. You'll send the paper to me as chairman. It'll be forwarded then to state chairman so that they have a final say as to approving the delegate status. The this year, there may not be any real hot buttons of issues that we want to cover. One I think is extremely important is this whole sex change of minors. Vanderbilt University came out in support of sex change for children even under 15. And the lady who was pushing for it at Vanderbilt was saying, it's a great moneymaker. That was her argument for changing. Obviously, you can't change the sex. That was biological determined prior to birth. You know, all the appropriate chromosomes.
But the left maintains
so
that you can. David.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's interesting to bring that
idiots.
Up, David.
Come on. You can't change science. I mean, you know, well, every other time they're going to appeal to, well, follow the science. Well, I'm saying follow the science here. You can't change a sex. I mean, you got... Oh, what's the athlete that is got
Bruce
his,
Jenner? Bruce Jenner.
Of course, he's married to Kardashian.
Yeah.
That would drive anybody crazy.
Interestingly, he never had his tallywhacker whacked off. No, he still got that. He just got breasts. That's all. you can't change. If he had his tallywhacker whacked off.
Yeah, he still got the same Lynn. Chromosomes that God gave him. And
yeah,
that's not going to be changed
exactly.
by any sort of mutilation.
And we need to especially, I mean, if you got a grown person who is so stupid to do that, like Bruce Jenner, fine. But you don't do it to children. That is the ultimate in abuse of a child. Physical
abuse, are you kidding me?
Emotional
abuse. Absolutely. Well, we had just last. Now, you mentioned Vanderbilt. We had just last week on this program, Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry and Anthropology, Virginia Abernathy of Vanderbilt, and I know she would have been aghast that her university would have been behind something like this. But this is a sick and degenerate world.
And they only reversed themselves last week. They reversed themselves. No, we're not going to really do that. Well. They're not really going to do that because all of a sudden several state legislators in Tennessee found out about what was going on, and they're in the process of formulating a law that will prevent them from doing it. So they might as well back off and sound like the good guy now. Well, other states, other state legislatures need to make similar laws, absolutely outlawing sex change operations on children. That is unconscionable. So
this is something that may come up at the Southern National Congress meeting next, well, not next week, but a couple of weeks from now.
Saturday, November 5.
Yeah. All right, November the 5th. Now, we got a lot of travels coming up. I'm going to be in Atlanta next week to attend a private event along with Sam Dixon and some other usual suspects.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be broadcasting live from Atlanta next week. But just say, for argument's sake, David, that perhaps, let's just say, Keith and I might want to come to this event on November the 5th. What do we need to do to be there? What does anybody in our audience listening to right now need to do to be there as either a delegate or an observer? TheSNC.org, you've mentioned. November the 5th, Columbia is just south of Nashville, Tennessee, so a very central location, not too far from probably
most
people. Hey,
and we'd love you to be it. We'd love to have you as an observer, and the meeting is going to be over before your broadcast time, and I'm sure any number of the delegates would like to stick around.
You're definitely whetting my appetite as a broadcaster. We can sink our teeth into that, can we not, Keith?
Yes.
So,
we might even get the vice chairman, Rich Hamblin, on the show that night. Could we not, you think?
I believe we could probably persuade him.
I'm pretty sure Rich would be happy to open his mouth.
All right. Well, he hasn't stopped texting since you've been on. I can't even read them all. But no, he's tuning in. Listen, all kidding aside, we love Rich. Hey, Rich is responsible for this tonight. He reminded me of this event, and I said, let's get him on as soon as possible. And I'm glad that we could get you on with a couple of weeks in advance for people to make their arrangements. So, like us,
yeah.
If you want to be there, it's November the 5th, coming up. You know what? What is that? 20 days from now, roughly.
Three
weeks from tonight. There you go. TheSNC.org. Delegate, observer, whatever you want to call yourself, TheSNC.org. If people come just south of Nashville 3 weeks from now, what will they be in attendance for? What could they expect?
I didn't understand your question. Try again.
All right. So if people come 3 weeks from tonight to your event, the Southern National Congress's event on November the 5th, what can they expect? What will they be in store for? What will they be privy to?
Well, first of all, it'll start in the morning. It'll be all day. So they'll be in store for a variety of different topics of discussion. If they're a delegate, they can enter into the discussion. Sometimes we allow observers to talk, but it depends on how many are there and how many want to talk. But it lasts all day. Of course, we break for lunch. Excuse me, dinner.
Dinner and supper. Yeah, we know that.
Yes, it's dinner and supper. It's not lunch and dinner. Unfortunately, I still... Culture has made me use terms. But you'll have time to interact with the other delegates from other states. And if there is a topic that we have not thought of that needs to be discussed, one of the delegates can bring it up and it will be discussed.
I'll tell you this.
We get lively sometimes.
You go to thesnc.org. Let me just put it out this way. If you want to meet me and maybe Keith Alexander, maybe we'll be there. I can't say for sure, but maybe. I tell you what, I'm leaning. I know who will be there. David Jones, who you've listened to tonight. Rich Hamblin, our good friend. Gene Andrews, always a mainstay during Confederate History Month.
He'll be there. He'll be there.
You don't want to miss David, Rich, and Gene. I can tell you that. Stimulating conversation and company. If you want to be a part of that, the first week of November the 5th, Saturday, 3 weeks from tonight, just south of Nashville, thesnc.org. Sign up with David Jones. David, we're out of time, but Keith went to an Ole Miss game wearing a Texas Longhorns hat today. He was in Oxford earlier today wearing a Texas Longhorns hat. I don't know what that means, but I might try to hog tie him to use a Razorback and drag him up to Columbia in 3 weeks. I got to go to Atlanta next week first, but we'll be all over the place. But, hey, as long as we're in the South, as long as we're in Dixie, we're at home. Right, Keith?
Absolutely.
We're at home.
Amen.
Hey, God, that's right. Dixie. David Jones, God bless you. God bless Dixie. God save the South. For David Jones, Keith Alexander, Brother Nathaniel, I'm James Edwards. Keith, 2 seconds. Go.
Look, we've got to understand
that's
that
it.
We have a – okay,
that's
that was it.
It.
That's all there was. Understanding is key.
Good night, everybody.